from San Francisco, California, with your host, Ben Kaspik. This is Locked On Giants Baseball. Welcome back to Locked On Giants Baseball, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Kaspik, and I'm thrilled to be with you again today. On this show, we provide daily episodes Monday through Friday, approximately 15 minutes in length, talking about the San Francisco Giants in a way that's data-driven and rational, but also insightful and easily digestible, easy for everyone to understand. To subscribe to Locked On Giants Baseball, you can find us on the brand new podcast app Himalaya, as well as Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify. You can also get in your car and tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Giants Baseball. Coming up on today's show, we get to talk about the Giants 2-1 win over the Los Angeles Dodgers last night, and they won the series. We're going to go through the game notes, and there's quite a lot to talk about, so that's going to take up both segments of today's show. But first, the Giants' record. They are now 13-18, six games behind the Dodgers in the National League West, the Dodgers being the first place team. And the Giants' run differential is minus 25, which it has an expected record of 12-19. So they're actually overperforming their run differential now for, I think, the first time this season. They were behind it for a while, and then they caught up, and now they're overperforming it. And the reason for that is that when they've been losing lately, they've been losing by a lot. There were a lot of blowouts in that Yankees series, and then the Dodgers won 10-3 in the second game of this series. But when they've been winning by one. So it's still not a good run differential, and second worst only to the Marlins in the National League. So that's not a good sign, but the good news is the Giants were able to win 2 out of 3 from the Dodgers. So how did they do it? Well, Madison Bumgarner pitched beautifully last night, and we're definitely going to talk more about that later. But first, so in the bottom of the first inning, Steven Duggar led off with a single. It was a sign of things to come. He had 3 hits in this game, and he scored both of the Giants' runs. So then up came Tyler Austin, who, batting second against a left-handed pitcher, is a threat, and it's just a much better situation than what they've had the last several years. The top of their lineup has been dreadful, and we have looked at that on the show quite a lot, but Tyler Austin against left-handed pitching is lethal. In his career, he's only batted against lefties 172 times, so it's not a huge sample, but he has a .284 batting average, a .360 on base percentage, and a .568 slugging percentage. So that all adds up to being 45% above average offensively. And that's not just above average against lefties. That's above like the average offensive production in baseball. 45% better than that is Tyler Austin when he's facing a left-handed pitcher. So he hit the hardest ball of the night. It was hit 108 miles an hour. It went 406 feet. And you might be wondering, how did it go 406 feet to dead center field and not go over the fence? Well, the wall is like 400 feet, but you have to hit it over the wall. So really, it has to have a distance beyond 400 feet to go over the wall. This one did. It hit off the wall. Almost an incredible catch in center field by Alex Verdugo, but it hit off his glove and fell in for a double. So the Giants had second and third with no outs, and up came Brandon Belt, who hit the second hardest hit ball of the night, 105 miles an hour, and he hit it right into Triple's alley for the millionth time. And multiple times this season, after that article was written in The Athletic about how the ballpark is enormous and hitters get robbed all the time, and there was a quote from a front office executive or someone in the front office saying the park was specifically designed to screw over Brandon Belt. And it happened again last night. That should have been a 3-run homer. Instead, it was an out that turned into a sacrifice fly. So there's an example. Giants should have been leading 3-0 after one inning, but instead it was 1-0, and runs were hard to come by in this game. So it did almost end up costing them, but ultimately the Giants, of course, were able to win. So as I said, Madison Bumgarner was extremely good in this game. It's the best that I've seen him pitch in a long time, and specifically in the fourth inning, he really showed some impressive stuff when he ended up loading the bases and got out of it by striking out Max Muncy. He was very, very deliberate in that inning. He threw a higher percentage of fastballs in this game than he's thrown since 2016, and he also had more swings and misses than he's had in a game since 2016. All told, Madison Bumgarner now has a strikeout rate above 24%, which would be his highest rate since 2016, which was really the last time he had a really strong season. Last year, it dipped under 20%, so it's good to see that back up. The walk rate is down to 4%, where it was about 8% last year. And all told, he has a 3.92 ERA, but the peripherals are lower than that. He has a 3.26 fielding independent pitching and a 3.63 expected fielding independent pitching. But really, all of the fact that the ERA is higher than those two numbers can be explained by the fact that he's only stranding 60% of his base runners. And so the league average is like 72%, and people typically don't really vary above or below 72% much over a big enough sample. Unless you're like a high strikeout guy, then you can be above 72%, but still more like 80 at the most. But Bumgarner for his career is at 76.6%. And so the fact that it's down at 60% right now really just explains the fact that the ERA is above those peripheral numbers. So for context, his fielding independent pitching this year is 3.26, and the last couple of years it was up around 4. So really seeing some positive signs for Bumgarner, and this was a huge start for him. Very impressive. They needed him to be strong, and he was. We're going to talk more about one situation where he made a mistake in this game in the next segment of the show. Remember, to subscribe to Locked On Giants Baseball, you can find us on the brand new podcast app Himalaya in an ever-expanding podcast world. You need Himalaya with their personally curated playlists and new features every day. Download Himalaya on your app store and subscribe to Locked On Giants Baseball. Coming up in the next segment, we're going to continue to look at this huge 2-1 win by the Giants over the Dodgers. We're going to talk about a mistake that Bumgarner made, the bullpen and how it was able to shut the door, and the winning rally that the Giants were able to push across the winning run. So that's all coming up next, but first, we talk about baseball performance all the time on this show, but what about performance in the bedroom? That's right, BlueChew.com. That's blue like the color blue. BlueChew is the first chewable with the same active FDA-approved ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, so you know that they work. They can be taken anytime, day or night, even on a full stomach. And since they're chewable, they work up to twice as fast as a pill, so you can be ready whenever the opportunity arises. Yes, I actually know someone who has tried this product and they have extremely positive things to report about its effectiveness. The best part about Blue Chew is that it's prescribed online and shipped straight to your door in a discreet package, so there's no more visit to the doctor's office, waiting at the pharmacy, and best of all, no more awkwardness around this topic. Blue Chew is made in the United States and prepares and shipped direct, so it's cheaper than a pharmacy. Right now, we've got a special deal for our listeners. Visit www.bluechew.com and get your first shipment free when you use special promo code MLB. Just pay $5 for shipping. That's it. Again, that's BlueChew.com, promo code MLB, and try it. It's free. Blue Chew is the better, cheaper, faster choice, and we thank them for sponsoring this podcast. Okay, so as promised, we're going to continue to talk about the game notes between the Giants and Dodgers, with the Giants winning this one 2-1, taking the series from LA. So one of the first things to note here is that Bumgarner had thrown almost 100 pitches through 5 innings, and the top of the order was due up for the Dodgers in the top of the 6th, with Kike Hernandez lefty killer, and specifically Madison Bumgarner killer. I like to say that pitcher versus batter matchups don't really matter, and I continue to believe that, but Kike Hernandez destroys left-handed pitching, and Madison Bumgarner is, of course, left-handed. Corey Seager was up 2nd. Justin Turner up 3rd. But this was a case where you could tell that Madison Bumgarner was clearly in control and pitching well. And so I really had no problem with the fact that Bumgarner went out there to face the Dodgers top of the order, third time through the lineup, when he had pitched through 5 and was nearing 100 pitches. So it's not necessarily a cookie cutter situation where you just always take that guy out the third time through. I think there was a case to be made that you could do it, and it wouldn't have been an awful decision if you have a really strong bullpen and this is like a must-win game. It might have been the ideal thing to do in that situation. But at the same time, you're allowed to use your eyes and see how he's pitching. And a lot of it has to do with your seeing swings and misses, which is, again, something we can quantify. So it's not just the eye test, you can tell he's pitching well from some data and from watching the games. You can also just see the type of defensive swings the Dodgers were taking last night. But Kike Hernandez did lead off the inning with a double. Corey Seager struck out, so that was a huge strikeout by Bumgarner. He got Justin Turner to fly out to center field, and then Cody Bellinger hit a ground ball to first base that Brandon Belt made a very nice diving play on, and Madison Bumgarner failed to cover first base. He hesitated when the ground ball was hit, and he had no chance to get there in time because Cody Bellinger is just way too fast. And Kike Hernandez didn't hesitate himself. He scored all the way from second base on that. So that tied the game. But Bumgarner got out of it without any further damage, and that ended up being his final line. Six innings pitched, one earned run, eight strikeouts, and two walks, four hits allowed. But then a very curious thing was that his spot was due to lead off the bottom of the sixth, and he hit for himself against Hyunjin Ryu. So I guess the logic there was that Bruce Bochy feels that Madison Bumgarner batting right-handed against a left-handed pitcher is better than any single person they had on the bench last night, which is very surprising. Because, I mean, you're leading off an inning. It is not a situation where you want to give away an out. And I'm sorry, but Bumgarner is a good hitter for a pitcher. But compared to even someone like Eric Kratz and some lefties on lefties, like even Joe Panik, Pablo Sandoval was available. It was just surprising and really a head-scratcher to see Bumgarner hit for himself. I think that was just showing a little too much confidence in his ability with the bat. So he did strike out, and then the Giants did not score. This game remained tied 1-1 going into the ninth inning. But in the meantime, Crawford made a leadoff error in the seventh inning on a routine ground ball that got the Giants into trouble. So his performance early on this season continues to be abysmal. I hate to say it, but with the bat, and he's been very good with the glove, but then we have seen some routine ground balls booted. I'm not saying he hasn't been good defensively, because he has, but it just gets magnified when you're really not hitting to make a crucial error like that. It did not end up costing them, but it very easily could have. It was leading off the seventh. The Dodgers ended up getting a runner on third with less than two outs in that inning. This was a Reyes Maranta inning, and he ended up striking out three in the inning, escaping all kinds of trouble. And he has just been totally dominant this season. He's striking out over 40% of batters. He has a 1.93 ERA with essentially peripherals to match. So very high on Reyes Maranta. He did a tremendous job escaping that inning and showed a lot of emotion when he was able to get out of it unscathed. One final point before we get to the winning rally by the Giants is that Hyunjin Ryu pitched very deep into this game, and he batted for himself in that critical seventh inning where the Dodgers did not score. He attempted to bunt, but ended up striking out on a foul bunt. But the idea there, I was wondering, why are they just extending him so long and not pinch hitting for him in that situation with like Jock Peterson, someone who's left-handed and can hit against Maranta? But the reason is, I think, that A, he was pitching well, and B, the Dodgers clearly wanted to utilize their left-handed pitchers against the Giants lineup. And I think it's very telling that the Giants, of course, when they had a chance to use a pinch hitter, didn't even bother burning one against the lefty. They went to Bumgarner. So then in the ninth inning, who's the first guy out of the bullpen they bring in? It was Julio Urias, who's another left-handed pitcher. So the Giants bench against left-handed pitchers is still thin, and it would be nice to see them add somebody at some point who's a threat to pinch hit against left-handed pitchers when there's been a left-handed starter. So Steven Duggar singled with one out in the ninth. Gerardo Parra singled with one out in the ninth. So it was first and second, one out. Brandon Belt struck out. And then in came Pedro Baez to relieve Julio Urias and face Buster Posey. And he was able to single home the winning run. Steven Duggar flying around third was able to score ahead of the throw. It was very exciting. And the Giants won the game 2-1. So regarding Posey, really quickly, his bat has looked better. His swings have looked better. And one thing that I'm encouraged by is the fact that his isolated power, his ISO, which is the difference between slugging percentage and batting average, it's back up to 141. It had fallen all the way down to 098 last season, and that essentially indicates power. And so if anything below one is just really, really weak. But Posey in 2016 and 2017 was around 145, and it's 141 right now. So the thing that's holding him back is simply the fact that his batting average and thus on base percentage are suppressed a little bit, but his batting average on balls in play is well below where it normally is. So if that rises up, you're going to see the average up there, you're going to see the on-base percentage up there, and the fact that the ISO is where it is suggests that you're also going to see that slugging percentage back way above where it was last season when it fell all the way down to 382. The fact that he has a 391 slugging right now with a batting average that's only 250 tells me that the power is coming back, extra base power, at least a little bit. So that is a good sign, and his defense has been very good. So positive indicators for Posey. I wouldn't say he's ever going to be the well above average offensive player that he used to be. But if he's above average offensively and the best defensive contributor in baseball, then that's a really good package. And sure enough, he's projected for another like 4 wins above replacement by Fangraphs this season, and he's already put up close to 1. So that's close to a 5-win season, which is really, really good. So positive signs for Posey and very good to see. Glad to see him win the game with the single. So we will be back with another episode tomorrow previewing this road trip, this game against Cincinnati. Very exciting. Tyler Beedy will be called up to start the game. By the way, Ty Block was optioned back to the minors to clear a spot on the 25-man roster for Steven Vogt, and Webb was placed on the restricted list for that PED suspension, and that opened up a 40-man spot for Vogt. But they're going to have to do something, option somebody, or put someone on the IL to clear a spot for Beedy on the 25-man, so that will be interesting to see what happens. Cannot wait to talk about those moves and preview this series tomorrow. If you like this show, please consider subscribing and leaving a review. We do daily episodes Monday through Friday, approximately 15 minutes in length, talking about the San Francisco Giants in a way that's data-driven and rational, but also insightful and easily digestible, easy for everyone to understand. You can subscribe on the brand new podcast app Himalaya, as well as Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify. You can also get in your car and tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Giants Baseball. Once again, my name is Ben Kaspic. You can follow me on Twitter at @Cove_cast. I cannot wait to be with you again tomorrow, and until then, we'll see you next time.